This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Lots of great responses coming in. The question I posed on Twitter / X this morning: give me your favorite on-field Bills memory of a game you attended at current Highmark Stadium. I do not like saying old Highmark Stadium. It is not old yet. They're still playing there. It is current Highmark Stadium. It will be the old stadium as of the end of this year, whenever that happens, as far as when what Bills game is the last and final game to be played at the stadium. Asked you that, you can tweet me at Sal Sports. Steven says 31-0 beating the Pats, but the perfect game takes the cake for me. I mean, of course, that's pretty top of mind, right? What happened against the New England Patriots in the playoffs, the perfect game. The Bills just could do nothing wrong that night. It was cold. It was a party in the stadium like it was for 51-3. One of the best memories I ever have. And a great, great history lesson, a great oral history, video history, that's going to be presented on WKBW TV Channel 7 starts this week. And Matt Bove joins me now on the Wester Hotline to talk about it. Sports director at Channel 7, always game day in Buffalo, co-host with me as well. Good morning, buddy. How are you? Happy Father's Day. Belated Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day to you as well. Thank you for having me on. I'm currently joining you from the patio of a Tim Hortons on Saunders Settlement Road in Sanborn, New York. So I am representing Niagara County very well at the moment.
Okay, are you doing more interviews? Because you've traveled high and far and low and wide to get great interviews for this series. Are you doing an interview there about the stadium?
No, I'm getting new tires put on my car. In the coffee shop just has to be 5 minutes away.
All right.
So while my tires are getting put on, I'm getting a coffee and talking to you.
I love it. Tell us about the process of this series and kind of what it took to put it together.
That's a great question. So probably about 2 or 3 months ago, I had this idea, and it's not like some earth-shattering, groundbreaking idea, but I was thinking to myself, you know, we really need to start working on our stadium stuff for Channel 7 and how we can properly give this place a send-off, because it means so much to so many people. Then I was thinking about just the calendar. When I started to have these thoughts, we're getting ready for the draft, free agency is still going on, we're way before any of the voluntary workouts and everything happened. But I was like, you know what? I feel like this is the perfect way of bridging the gap between when mandatory minicamp ends and when training camp starts, because that's about a 6 week stretch. We're Channel 7. So I was like, okay, let's do 7 episodes. This is kind of a layup. And let's start to interview people about their favorite stadium memories. Put these all to the side. And then when we get a little bit free time, we'll go back and we'll look at the interviews and we'll try and piece things together. So I started just reaching out to anybody and everybody who I know within the organization, fans, people who have worked for the team, and just started to set up some interviews. And right away, I think I got the sense that this was going to be pretty special, just because I didn't, I think, realize how emotional of a topic this was going to be. I knew it would be emotional for some people, but it was pretty emotional for everybody as they shared their favorite stories, their favorite memories. And it was really, really special. So we just started talking to people and asking them a lot of the questions like you asked on Twitter this morning. What's your favorite game inside the stadium? What's your favorite memory inside the stadium? What are you going to miss the most about the building? Are you excited about the new building? And we just kind of let those questions lead us to where they, or we let that kind of lead the conversation into any direction we felt like it needed to go. And we've been really fortunate to get some great stuff. So it's been a lot of work putting it together, but we are really excited to kind of roll this thing out tonight.
I'm sure there were a lot of people, more people you could have talked to. How did you narrow it down, and how did you figure out like who the right people were to kind of actually put, you know, questions to and put on this thing?
So I wrote down a list. Right when it started, I just took out a piece of paper and just started writing down names of people who I would love to be able to talk to about this. Now, for me, I'm a Western New York native, so I know all about the history of the Bills and the Super Bowl era and the years before that. I needed to do a little bit of research about like the 70s and 80s because I knew the big names, but I didn't know maybe some of the guys who were like the next level player. So I wrote down the list, and then I started basically just calling people and seeing who got back to me. And the first interview I got done, believe it or not, was Marv Levy. He answered the phone, 99 years old. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am talking to Marv Levy right now. This is so cool. And he was awesome. So I had a chance to talk to him. And then, yeah, I just kind of wrote down the list. And it was pretty simple of like, I called you. If you got back to me, I set something up. If you didn't get back to me, then we had to move on to the next person on the list. Luckily, there's no shortage of people who have incredible ties to the stadium. Also, we're not done yet. I am still interviewing people and still putting things together. A little behind the scenes. First episode airs tonight. Basically, episode three and four are basically done. We have what we need for the other episodes, but we're also still trying to find people to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit. So if I haven't talked to somebody yet, that doesn't mean I won't talk to them. I just haven't had a chance to do it yet. And it was all the people you thought, right? Like the names I wrote down on the list of like absolutely have to talk to. Jim Kelly, was able to get him. Marv Levy, was able to get him. Frank Reich, we made that happen. Mary Wilson, we had to get. There's just so many people who I was like, okay, we have to talk to this person. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Okay, how many episodes? When do they air?
7 episodes. Thank you for asking the question. 7 episodes starting tonight, 7:30 on Channel 7. And they will go all the way through the first week of training camp, which I believe is like July 28th. The last episode will air. It's a Monday night. They're all a half an hour long. They will all be online following the episode that has aired on television. So tonight at 7:30, it'll air on TV. And then right afterwards, it'll be available on WKBW.com. It'll also be available on our smart TV app. So if you're somebody who wants to sit down and watch it on the television, you can just watch the episode on the app, WKBW Channel 7. When all of the episodes are done, we'll put the entire thing on YouTube. But for right now, the best ways to watch it are on Channel 7 for the next 7 weeks or on our website, WKBW.com.
So it's every Monday night, right? It's every Monday night starting tonight.
Every Monday night for the next 7 weeks.
Okay. So did you find any difference, like a striking difference between when you have a bucket of players, guys who played at the stadium, you have front office people been associated, employees of the team who didn't play, you have media members like me, like Sal Majorana, who's just on. Mm-hmm. Was there a difference that you could totally tell, like, oh, the players really talked about this? The people in the team talked about this. The media talked about this. Or was it kind of all mishmash?
Ooh, that's a good question. I haven't been asked that before. I think it was a little bit of a mismatch. I think there's certain games that maybe the fan base romanticizes a bit more than the guys who actually played on the field a little bit. Like, the comeback game is the game for the fans and the players who were part of it, of course. But I think it was funny because talking to them, it was like the first 35 minutes of the game were miserable. So they remember a lot of the post game and the celebration afterwards more than they remember what happened in the game itself, which I thought was really, really interesting. Like, that was a question I asked to everybody who had something to do with the comeback game. And it was all about kind of what happened after the game, not what happened specifically during the game, or if there was a particular moment when they felt like things were starting to turn around. Then there's games that I think are more beloved from the fan base than they are the players, kind of like the snow game against the Colts back in 2017. I think that was miserable for the players. I don't think they really enjoyed that one very much at all until it was over. For the fans, it was a party.
And then there's the games that I think both sides love, the fans love and the players love, like 51-3. I think the most common answers we got about what's your favorite game inside that stadium were the comeback game, were 51-3, and were the perfect game against the Patriots a couple years ago in the playoffs. But, you know, some of them were more beloved by fans, some of them were more beloved by players. And then I think from a media standpoint, it's always just kind of been what's been the good story. And a lot of these games have also been great stories, which is why we've enjoyed covering them.
Matt Bove, sports director, WKBW TV Channel 7. Follow him on Twitter at Matt_Bove. I gave my answer. 51-3 stands out, but I mean, there's so many along the way. I think you remember your first game a lot of times, right? What's the first game you attended? For me, the strike season, I went to my first game. It wasn't a strike game. Did that year come up, the strike game? People go into games when it wasn't even the real players.
No, it actually hasn't, really. Not a lot of people have brought up the strike, and admittedly, not a lot of people have brought up things from the 80s. The 80s is kind of like the no-man. You know, there's people who care about that, but of the people we've talked to, people have worked for the team for a long time, people have covered the team for a long time, it feels like there was a little bit of a gap, and kind of that year, like that decade was a little bit of a blur until the late 80s. Like that 85 draft class really kind of set it off, and then they go on the run and start to get really, really good. So I understand that. And the other thing that I've picked up on, and I feel like it's because the Bills are so good now that we can talk about it a little bit differently. It almost feels like the drought now is romanticized a little bit, which certainly was not the case when it was happening. Like, we talk about the drought now, like, oh, remember that game against the Patriots in week 3 of the 2011 season? Or how about the Raiders game the week before? Or all of these different little pockets of games in the middle. Those seasons for this fan base were miserable. That was horrendous. There are still incredible moments kind of pieced in there a little bit, but it's funny how when you remove yourself from it, the narrative around it changes a little bit. I also think we maybe take for granted how good this team has been for the last couple of years, because it really has been an incredible run, even though they haven't gotten quite to where they are trying to go.
One that came to me recently that we didn't talk about, and, you know, you interviewed me and I appreciate that, you know, for this series. And I gave my, you know, thoughts on 51-3 and just being on the sidelines for certain games, being a fan in the stands. But the thing we didn't talk about, and I want to ask you about, is the COVID year.
Yep.
There's no fans. It was such a unique experience, you know, to be in that stadium when there was nobody there. Did anybody talk about what that was like during those years?
Yeah.
During that year, excuse me, those games.
Yes, they did, and I can tell you that there will be not quite a full episode, but a good chunk of an episode later in the series, specifically about the Taron Johnson pick six against the Ravens, because for a lot of people, that was a moment that if you were in the building that day, that'll be your favorite moment. For me personally, the Taron Johnson pick six is actually my favorite memory, like from a play ever inside that stadium. Going there with my family and being on the sideline before a game with my dad, those are my favorite memories. But that moment, for as few people that were in the building, it was captured perfectly by Adrian Krause from the Associated Press. That picture has been iconic for Bills fans. I talked to Taron about it. I talked to Deion Dawkins about it. I talked to Tre'Davious White about it. He was Taron's lead blocker on that play. Dawson Knox shared what it was like on the sideline. So there's been some incredible answers and stories about that. The COVID year itself, though, was weird, right? Because the first time there were actual fans in the stands were the playoff games. That was their first playoff win in 25 years, if memory serves me correct. Then the next week, they win the playoffs to punch a ticket to the AFC Championship. So those were very special moments for the people who were actually there. And I think for the players, that's something they really look back fondly on, because that's a little bit like this team's arrival, right? Like, you could always go back to the Super Bowl era and figure out when did they arrive. And there's different moments that people can point out to. For this generation in this era, it's the COVID year. In 2020, the Bills went from being a good team to a great team, and have been a great team ever since.
Matt Bove here on the Western Hotline. What about the other question? What are people going to miss about the stadium? Was there something outside of the game and memories that people talked about they're going to miss about this particular stadium?
Yeah, a lot of the atmosphere. And that has been a very common theme from these interviews, has been that people are very excited for the new stadium, but they want to make sure it has the same energy and atmosphere, and it is still such a home field advantage to the Bills like the current stadium is. You know who actually was pretty adamant about that was Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott told me, he's like, we can't lose this. He's like, this is right. such an advantage that I don't think people realize how big of an advantage we have when other teams are coming into our own building. So it's been a lot of that, of like, we need to make sure this new stadium is still difficult for the opposing team. We need to make sure it's loud. We need to make sure that they are not on their game or be able to function at their best and highest level, because that is an advantage for us. So it's been a lot of that. And then the things, other things, like one of the things that I thought was really, really poignant was somebody told me, and I forget who it was, that at Highmark Stadium right now, because it is pretty old and has certainly seen better days, it's all about football, and that's what Buffalo is. It is all yeah. about the game. It's not about necessarily the experience, everything else in the stadium, because all you have to focus on is the game itself. And they want to make sure that with all of these new bells and whistles inside this new stadium, that the game itself is still the top priority. And I really do think that that matters, and I think that's a poignant way of looking at it. So sure, tailgating is going to be the same because you're, you know, or tailgating is going to be relatively the same. And a lot of the fans in the current stadium are going to be the fans in the new stadium. But it's making sure that the game on the field is always the biggest priority. And I think it will be. But right now, it certainly is.
One of the things that I'll miss is I tell people all the time, there's not a bad seat in the house to watch a football game. Now, there's a lot of reasons why you need a new stadium here. We know that, right? I mean, yeah. we see the behind-the-scenes stuff, and we're in the media. We go to these other stadiums. There's a lot of reasons why it's time for a new stadium. I get it. But it truly is a charm when you walk into that stadium, Matt, and you could sit anywhere in that building and get a great football experience versus when you go to a lot of other stadiums, it is not like that.
Yeah, for sure. It is very charming. It's, I think, for as rough as it is right now, from just like a structural standpoint and no-frills standpoint, I always think if I was a fan from another team, what would my, and I was going to a Bills game in Orchard Park, what would I think of the stadium? And I always tell people, I think you would have an exceptional fan experience and game day experience. It certainly wouldn't be fancy or anything, but if you just care about football and care about the vibe of the game, you would really, really enjoy it. So making sure, the one thing I think, though, is from everybody I've talked to, the new stadium will be very much the same, where every seat
right.
will be great,
that's
and
right.
you'll be closer to
yep.
the field, and you'll really be able to take it in. The sounds for the new stadium will be exceptional. But there's just going to be something about not having metal bleachers that people can bang on third down, right? That'll just feel a little bit different. There's no place like home, right? And for Bills fans for all of these years, this has been home. And it's filled with so much nostalgia and so many memories that protecting that is really, really important.
Yeah, and I want to make sure I make that clear, too. What we've been told, what we know about the new stadium is all of that has been really thought about and making sure you do have, like Sean McDermott said, that home field advantage, and even more so maybe with the pitch of the stadium and the fans on the upper deck will actually be closer, and then you'll have the overhang that'll keep the sound in. It'll be very, very cool from that standpoint. The series will start tonight. What's it called? What's the name of the series? Fandemonium?
Leading the Charge, because that is our okay. show that we do every single week. 52
yep.
years of Fandemonium. So a little nod to Van Miller and the iconic
yep.
call, 52 years inside the stadium. We sat there and we looked. Honestly, the name kind of came from, and I talk about this in the series a little bit. My parents used to have this bottle opener that would be in the cabinet next to the stove in our kitchen. And if you clicked the bottle opener, it would play the call from Van Miller from the comeback game. Like, that would be what happened. If you took the top off of a drink, it would start to play the call out of a little speaker. And I kept
oh my God,
thinking
yes.
about that call. And in that, you know, the line Fandemonium, the thing that he does all the time. And I was like, yeah, I want to get Fandemonium into it somehow. So that kind of rolled off the tongue nicely, 52 years of Fandemonium. So we're happy with the title. We spent a lot of time thinking about it, probably more time than I would care to admit.
I don't mean to make you emotional, but was it emotional for you doing this because you lost your dad a couple of years ago and you went through all these memories and your dad was a big Bills fan?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't recorded the final couple episodes yet, but that is kind of when I figure, like, it'll be my time to share my... Right now, this is about everybody else sharing their stories, and I
yeah.
feel like I should kind of save mine till the end, but I think about going to... It's going to be emotional for me leaving that building because that is the building where I kind of fell in love with football and I spent time with my dad, right? I know
yep.
that those memories will not fade, but when we're leaving that building for the last time, I'm not going to probably be thinking about the Taron Johnson pick six or Josh Allen or any of that. I'm going to be thinking about sitting in that stadium with my dad and watching football, and now moving across the street, that'll be a building that he never had a chance to go to. And that's sad to me. That's emotional for me. And that's something that a lot of people have brought up. The thing that makes the Bills so special is that it is a lifestyle, but it's a generational thing. People pass it down from one generation to the next generation, and it's a way that people bond. And so many people have, during their interviews, started to weep because they think about going to the stadium for the first time with a parent, with a sibling, with a friend who's no longer here. And we have so many incredible memories. So my most cherished memory inside that stadium is my first home game as sports director. I was able to bring my parents on the field before the game. And I have this picture of my dad in a Jim Kelly jersey, my mom in a Bills hoodie, and me in a suit standing there on the sideline. And I have it printed out, and it's in my office at work, and it's in my office at home. And I cherish that picture. So, yeah, I think it brings out the emotions for me. And it's going to bring about the emotions for everybody. And I maybe took that for granted a little bit. I knew how emotional of a process this would be for me going through it. But then to realize how much this means to so many people was really, really eye-opening. And I think that's another reason why I'm so excited to, you know, kind of share these stories and continue to talk to people.
I was going to ask you, how would your dad answer the question of his favorite memory? I think you answered it for me, though. You know, being on the field with his son and being a sports director, I think that would have been probably his answer.
Yeah, it would have, but he also would have probably said the comeback game. So, you know, I think a lot of people feel the same way. He swears, it's funny, he swears, and he has sworn to me his entire life before he passed, that the only reason they stayed was because they had thermoses that were still like halfway full of probably a little bit of booze and a little bit of coffee, and was like, you know what, we just figured we'll finish this and then we'll leave. And then he had season tickets from 85 to 97, my dad. So he was there for that. He was there for 51 to 3. He says that those were the greatest moments that he ever had inside that stadium as a fan, kind of in those years. And then Frank Reich talked about it a little bit. He's like, you know, what's funny is I think I've signed about 150,000 tickets from the comeback game, and I've met 250,000 people who were there. It's like, I don't exactly know how it's possible, but we'll just roll with it at this point.
All right, so 1 minute here left with you, 2 minutes. I just want to get your thoughts real quickly. We talk about the Bills all the time. People can follow us and listen to us on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. By the way, I will share, I said this on the radio the other day, Matt, we recorded an episode at the stadium the other day, and because of the Google Cloud issue that happened, the whole thing got wiped out. So there was like, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah, just technology can stink sometimes.
Yes, no doubt. So that happened, but we're going to do another one. I do want to ask you, though, real quick, these teams for the Olympics are starting to roll in today, the top six.
Yep.
No J.J. Paterka for Germany. Are you surprised? Like, only on the top six that are announced. He'll play for the team, but isn't that a little surprising he wasn't one of the top six announced?
Well, it was the first thing that I looked when they announced the rosters of where Paterka was, but then I looked at the other names on there, and I said, okay, this makes sense. I think those other players probably just have a little bit more experience and history with hockey in Germany that they're, like, a little bit more obvious to put on the list. Like, for example... Yeah. You know, like Stutzel. I can think of playing for Germany so many different times. I think he's a really good player. I think J.J. Paterka is a really good player. I'm assuming that he's going to be on that roster. The players for the Sabres organization right now that I assume will be in are Paterka. Obviously, Dahlin already got announced. That one's a no-brainer. I'm assuming Luukkonen will once again play for Finland. And then Tage. I was kind of on the fence. I always thought Tage should play on the team. I just didn't know how USA Hockey felt about him. But after scoring the game-winning goal in overtime in the gold medal game, I think he has pretty much written himself on that roster. Mm-hmm. So I think those four guys are all pretty safe bets, you know, assuming J.J. Paterka is actually on the Sabres next year.
Well, that was my final question. Do you think J.J. Paterka is a member of the Buffalo Sabres when the puck drops in 2025?
What's interesting is I'm always of the belief where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's no reason that this keeps coming up if the Sabres aren't willing and open to at least having a conversation. I wouldn't just trade him to trade him. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's still right at the beginning of his career, and I don't want to say the sky is the limit for him, but I think he can be a very good player in the NHL. If they can get an offer for like a very legitimate top four defenseman to either play with Dahlin or Power, I would be open to the idea of moving him. But I wouldn't just do it to do it. I don't think he's going to be on the team right now. I don't think he's going to be on the team. I don't think Byram's going to be on the team. The one I don't know about is, like, I don't know what they do with Samuelson. I'm almost convinced that Byram is getting traded. Like, that's going to happen to me. That's not a matter of if. That's a matter of when. I think now I'm leaning more towards Paterka. And then if there is somebody who's able or willing to take on Matias Samuelson's contract, I think they would probably also try and move on from him. But I think it's more likely he's back than not. But the two big moves I think they'll make will be trading Byram and then potentially trading Paterka.
Yeah, I think Byram is also going to be traded. We'll see what happens with Paterka. It's a very, very interesting offseason. Starts tonight, 52 years. Why don't you plug it one more time and tell everybody where they can watch and when they can watch.
Thank you. Leading the Charge, 52 Years of Fandemonium. It will be on tonight on Channel 7 from 7:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Immediately following, if you're not at your TV or around your TV at that time, it'll be available on our website, WKBW.com, and it will also be available on the WKBW app on a smart TV. So if you have one of those TVs, where you've got all the different apps, you can add WKBW, it's free, and then you can watch it right on your TV at home. If you've got a computer, or if you can link your computer to your TV or whatever, if you just want to watch it on your phone, just WKBW.com. That'll be the best way and the easiest way for you to find it.
All right, buddy. Good job on all of this. I can't wait to watch it. I've seen a bit of a sneak preview. It looks fantastic. People are absolutely going to love it. Hope your car is ready for you and your coffee is still good.
Well, you know what? My grandfather from Italy used to always have a line that happiness is going to the mechanic for an oil change and leaving with an oil change. Here's the issue. Went in for tires, need new brakes. Got the text message while I was on the phone with you. So there you go. Couple hundred bucks punched in the mouth.
All right, Matt. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk again. It's always game day, I'm sure.
All right. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. That is Matt Bove, sports director, WKBW-TV, Channel 7. Check him out at Matt_Bove, B-O-V-E. Leading the Charge, 52 Years of Fandemonium. Tonight starts in oral history, a video history, interviews, emotion, the current Highmark Stadium.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Closing after this year. I want your memories on it. I've asked you, you've responded in a big way on social media, asking for your phone calls as well. 803-0550. a game, on the field game, an atmosphere. Yeah, I know we all have these emotional ties going with our dad, going with our mom, and that's fine. But is there a game that stands out to you? Like, man, I went to that game because it was your first game and you're in awe. Is it because of what happened on the field? A certain play that you remember? The Taron Johnson pick six? COVID year, there's only 8,000, less than that, people in the stands, right? I mean, anything like that. Feel free here as we wrap up the next half hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to be with you here on a Monday. Hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend. Back after this with more of your phone calls and revisiting the current Highmark Stadium final year with your tweets and memories.
I have said on this podcast and in my radio interview several times now that the Sabres have indicated that they do not want to trade J.J. Paterka. Their answer has changed. They are at least now listening on it. And I think that's recent. I think it's the reality of the situation. People know Paterka's unhappy and it's believed he would like to go somewhere else. And I just think that reality is sinking in a bit. I think the Sabres realize they have to at least look into it. And I think in the last little bit, it's gone from we don't want to do it and we're not doing it to we don't want to do it, but we at least have to look into it. I think it's kind of, if you're serious, offer us something serious and we'll look at it.
Okay, Elliot Friedman there on J.J. Paterka. Lots of layers to this, right? Which is, I think we all have heard everything he said there. J.J. Paterka, unhappy, would like to be in a bigger place, bigger market, bigger city, is some of the things that have been, you know, reported or talked about. It's also losing, right? I mean, no one's happy when you're losing. Doesn't mean you want out when you're losing. I mean, Alex Tuch said, I want to be here, okay? Young player, has not won yet, and the frustration is boiling. At the same time, is his contract intersecting with that as a restricted free agent. I still listen to that, and I think part of me goes, okay, reality is we may have to trade him. They don't, though. The reality is they don't have to trade him. He's still their property, and they have a lot of different levers to pull here. They have different, you know, with certain contracts they can offer, restricted free agency, whatever. I don't even think JJ can kind of make it tough on them, but you don't want that to happen either. The thing I think about sometimes is Kevin Adams always saying, we want players that want to be here. But also, yeah, I listened to that through the end from Elliot Friedman. I'm thinking it's still less likely because he's basically saying, look, only give us really serious offers. We don't want to do this. So I think it would take a lot. I think it would also take the owner to sign off. And I think the owner really likes J.J. Paterka. And I think he'd have to kind of be on board with that. And there's been a lot of reporting recently. And we know that, you know, people say, well, the Sabres shouldn't have to run every single thing by Terry Pegula. I think something like this, they would. They probably should, and I don't know if he would be totally on board with that, right? How all that process would work. So it's a really interesting, maybe in some ways complicated situation. I think he's a really good player. I do not want the Sabres to trade him. If it does happen, they better get a really, really, they better get a better return than the, I'm not comparing the players, by the way, when I say this, than the Red Sox get for Rafael Devers, because that seemed like they didn't get much of a return, but you can't, you're still in a spot where you're trying with these young guys that you have in your team. And I know, shake it up, get rid of them. What have they won? Trying to make the playoffs. And you can't do anything that's going to make you worse. Like prospects, right? That makes you worse. If you're just selling off players who are good players, for players who aren't going to help you. We've been talking about the stadium. Some of your favorite memories. Matt Bove joined me from Channel 7 a little while ago to talk about the stadium video series they have starting tonight on Channel 7 at 7:30 p.m. Was really awesome hearing him talk about some of the things we're going to see during that series. I put out the call for you, and a fellow Sal from Lackawanna chimes in. Hi, Sal. Good morning to you.
Hi. Good morning, Sal. It's a pleasure to call. You're a legend.
No, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you.
Yeah. So I've been to over 50 games at this current stadium, but my favorite memory has to be the 2021 wildcard game against New England. It felt like -5 degrees, but as soon as I went into the stadium, it was rocking because it was like the first playoff game, right, in a while. And yeah, I grew up in the 2000s, so it was brutal. So going to that game, really nervous, especially since they had beat us in a similar weather conditions like a couple weeks prior to that. And then after that, we just appeared domination. Like, we, like, absolutely humiliated them. No pun, just a perfect game. But, yeah, that's my favorite memory.
I love it. And, you know, I think that what you said at the beginning there was right, Sal, which is, I was down there, too, and on the sidelines. Depending on how the game goes, you can feel a lot colder or a lot warmer, right? I think that as that game was going on, we all were like, yeah, who cares how cold it is? It's a party in here, and we're all just enjoying it. And the heat of the warmth of the people around you celebrating made up for any cold that you had during that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would do it all over again and again and again 100 times if I could.
No doubt. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, that was the same year as the Monday night game. The Bills lost 14-10. On Damian Harris' long touchdown run, the wind game, as we like to call it, where the Bills lost to the Patriots in that game where the Patriots only threw like 3 passes or whatever. And then the Patriots, for a brief period, had a lead in the AFC East, and the Bills caught them. The Bills go to Tampa the next week, losing overtime. Remember that? Then they didn't lose the rest of the regular season. They beat Carolina, beat the Patriots in New England for a monster game that they had to go to New England that night. And that day, and then that was the Saturday, I believe. No, it was a 1 o'clock game. And then, Sunday at 1. And then they come home to Atlanta and win, beat the Jets. And then, of course, it's set up for the rematch, the rubber match of that year. 47-17, the final score, is what we call the perfect game for the Bills. They just continue to score 7 straight possessions. They score touchdowns. It was great, right? Yeah, great game there. My first game ever I attended is one of the ones on my list, and it was also against the New England Patriots. And I brought up the strike year with Matt Bove. The strike year was interesting, and I don't know how many people went to any games when the Bills played at home with replacement players. They played that year, hold on, they played 3 games, 2 at home with replacement players. They played at home against the Colts and lost 47-6. Then 2 weeks later, they played the Giants and won 6-3 in overtime. Yes, a classic 6-3 overtime battle. Then the strike ends. Bills go to Miami. They win. That was a thrilling win, by the way. 34-31 to, I think, this last year of the Orange Bowl there. But that's the year. That's my first game. And that happened in December that year. So the Bills are sitting at 7-6. They had 1 game off the schedule because of the strike. They didn't play. The Bills do not play. So they only had an uneven amount of games. They played 15 games that year, not 16. It's December 20th. I'm looking now. December 20th. They play at home against the Patriots. They have to win like the last 2 games to make the playoffs. And they come home against the Patriots and they lose 13-7. My first game. In that game, Sean McNanny had a defensive fumble return for a touchdown to get the Bills on the board, and they cut the lead to 6, and they couldn't score again. That was it. Final score, 13-7, Patriots. It was not like a aesthetically pleasing game in any sense, but I remember walking into that stadium for the first time, my first time ever seeing that stadium and the field, and actually, I should say the second time my brother had played at the stadium as a high school senior, like a month before that. But I mean, as a Bills game, walking into the stadium and seeing the snow, there was snow on the field. That glaze of snow on the field. I remember that. Sat in the corner of the end zone. Bills lose the game. I actually have another memory for the stadium. I played at the stadium myself. I actually had an interception at the stadium. We played the 1989 championship Section 6 Class C Championship against Salamanca. I went to Cleveland Hill. And at that time, there was no state championship. Like the last game of the season, if you won at the stadium in the sectionals, you won. That was it. There was no, I think they started the state championship series a couple years later. So we never got a chance. I didn't play against like the Section 5 champion. That was it. My junior year, last game of my junior year was at the stadium. And it was a great game. Kind of low scoring. Remember the running back for Salamanca was a beast. His name was TJ Broll. Somebody listens like, oh my God, I know TJ Broll. Maybe TJ Broll's listening. Nobody wanted to tackle him on our defensive side. And I was a smaller dude and I got put in. I was more of like a part-time type of defender. I was a starting wide receiver, but part-time safety where they put me in passing situations. And at the end of the game, I go in at the end of the game and I actually had an interception to seal the game on the last drive for Salamanca. And that's a great memory for me playing at the stadium. And I remember the turf. The turf was not like today. It was this really, really hard surface that was like getting tackled on concrete. And it was also really hard even more so because it was one of the coldest games I've ever played a football game in. So that's a memory for me. Bruce in North Tonawanda. Hi, Bruce. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. I can't believe nobody's really brought this up, but I'm a bit OG, so I'm a little bit older in age, if you will. But remember when the Miami Dolphins just beat the hell out of the Bills for a decade? And we finally beat them at our home stadium, and we tore the goalposts down, and the goalposts went up and down the stadium and so on. That's one of the – and I can remember Reggie McKenzie just pointing at the Miami Dolphins and jumping up and down and so happy that we finally –
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Another street, of course. But that's one of my most fondest memories as well.
I love it. Yeah, first game, 1980. Thank you, Bruce. I don't particularly remember it. I was 7 years old when it happened, or six, I should say, turning seven that year, maybe. No, I would have turned seven already, but, you know, I don't particularly remember it. I know it was a great memory. Another one was, for a lot of people, that was something they brought up with Matt, I'm sure. Another one was the Hail Mary that Roland Hooks caught against the Patriots. And that was early 80s. And that game, if I remember right, was not on television. It wasn't sold out because I'm pretty sure we were searching for it on the radio, if I remember correctly, and found it and listened to the game. And I remember Van Miller saying, "It's tipped," and then caught by Roland Hooks. So that was cool. Another memory there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up your Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good memories from you today here about the stadium. We'll look ahead to Sabres Live coming up next. One more segment on the way on WGR. All right, got a minute here before we head off to Sabres Live. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 p.m. here on WGR. A lot more coming your way throughout the rest of the week. Well, to see what happens here with the rest of these teams being announced, the first six players, at least, of the Olympics. Josh and I were just talking through the break, and I want to make sure I got this right, so I want to say it. I'm sure you might already know this, but the NHL All-Star Game has been canceled for next year because of the Olympics, but they're going to hold what we believe will be more like a skills competition in Long Island. The Islanders will host, and it will be really, it looks like maybe country against country instead of division against division and how they divide it up, but that's one of the things that's happening next year. We were talking at the top of the program how the NHL starts a month before the NBA, but oftentimes they end around the same time. This year is one of those times, partly because of the Four Nations. So next year with the Olympics, it'll be a longer season as well for the NHL. And then the offseason is so short. Offseason for the Sabres, going to attempt to have Paul Hamilton on tomorrow. We'll talk more about what's up next for them, for their RFAs, JJ Paterka, stuff heating up around him, around them, around the draft coming up at the end of the month. So a lot more to get to here this week on the Sabres and more. And of course, maybe we'll find out here in a little while, Canada and USA and more as far as the Olympics and the first six players announced. In the meantime, have a great rest of your Monday. Sabres Live up next, then One Bills Live after that. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.